The building was locked on Sunday. I jammed my key in the lock, twisted it hard to open it, and jerked the keys out again. I didn't bother with the elevator, just hurled up the stairs as quickly as I could. 5 stories worth of stairs. It took me less than a minute, but I begrudged every second of it. My lungs were burning, and my mouth was dry as sand when I reached the 5th floor and sprinted down the hallway to my office. The halls were quiet, empty, dim. The only light came from the exit signs and from the overcast day outside. Shadows stretched and settled in the closed doorways. The door to my office was ajar. I could hear my ceiling fan squeaking on its mounting underneath the labored wheezing of my own breath. The overhead light wasn't on, but the reading light on my desk must have been on because the yellow light outlined the doorway and laid a swath of gold across the floor of the hall. I stopped at the threshold. My hands were shaking so much I could hardly hold my staff and rod. "Murphy?" I called out into the office. "Murphy, can you hear me?" My voice was hoarse, breathless. I closed my eyes and listened. I thought I heard 2 things. The first was a labored breath, with a faint moan on the exhale. "Murphy." The second was a dry, scuttling sound. I could smell gunpowder in the air. I clenched my jaw in sudden anger. Victor Sell's little beastie, whatever it was, had hurt my friend. Like hell, I was going to stand out there and give it the run of my office. I shoved the door open with my staff and stalked into my office, my blasting rod extended before me and words of power upon my lips. Directly in front of my office door is a table arranged with a series of pamphlets with titles like "Real Witches Don't Float So Good" and "Magic in the 21st Century." I had written some of them myself. They were meant for the curious, for people who just wanted to know about witches and magic. I squatted for a moment, blasting rod aimed beneath the table, but saw nothing. I rose again, looking back and forth, rod still ready. To the right of the door is a wall lined with filing cabinets and a couple of easy chairs. The cabinets were shut, but something could have been hiding beneath one of the chairs. I slid to my left, checking behind the door to the office, and pressed my shoulders to the wall, keeping my eyes on the room. My desk is in the back corner, to the right when you come in the door, diagonal from it. It's a corner office. There are windows on either side of the outside walls. My shades were, as usual, drawn. The overhead fan in the center of the room spun around with a tired little groan on every rotation. I kept my eyes moving, my senses alert. I choked down my anger ferociously and made myself remain cautious. Whatever had happened to Murphy, I wouldn't do her any good by letting it happen to me, too. I moved slowly, carefully, my blasting rod held ready. I could see Murphy's tennis shoes behind my desk. She looked like she was curled on her side from the way her feet were angled, but I couldn't see the rest of her. I pushed forward, striding to the center of the brick wall, keeping my blasting rod level like a gun on the floor behind the desk as it became visible. Murphy lay there, curled on her side, her golden hair in an artless sprawl about her head, her eyes open and staring blindly. She was dressed in jeans, a button-down shirt, and a Cubs satin jacket. Her left shoulder was stained with a blot of blood. Her gun lay next to her a couple feet away. My heart stepped up into my throat. I heard her take a little breath and groan when she let it out. "Murphy," I said, then louder. "Murphy!" I saw her stir, a fitful little motion that was in response to my voice. "Easy, easy," I told her. "Relax. Don't try to move. I'm going to try to help you." I knelt down near her, very slowly, watching the room all around. I didn't see anything. I set my staff aside and felt her throat. Her pulse was racing, thready. There was not enough blood for it to be a serious injury, but I touched her shoulder. Even through the jacket, I could feel the swelling.
"Harry," Murphy rasped, "is that you?"
"It's me, Murphy," I told her, setting my blasting rod aside and slowly reaching for the phone. The middle drawer of my desk, where the scorpion talisman had been, was open and empty. "Just hang on. I'm going to call an ambulance to help you."
"Can't believe it, you bastard," Murphy wheezed.
I felt her stir a little.
"You set me up."
I drew the phone down and dialed 911. It was silent. "Hush, Murph, you've been poisoned. You need help, fast." The 911 operator came on and took my name and address. I told her to send an ambulance prepared to treat someone for poisoning, and she told me to stay on the line. I didn't have time to stay on the line. Whatever had done this to Murphy, it was still around somewhere.
I had to get her out of there. And then I had to recover Victor's talisman to be able to use it against him when I went out to the lake house. Murphy stirred again, and then I felt something hard and cool flick around my wrist and clitter-clat shut. I blinked and looked down at her. Murphy's jaw was set in a stubborn line as she clicked the other end of the handcuffs around her own wrist. "You're under arrest," she wheezed. "You son of a bitch. Wait till I get you into the interrogation room. You aren't going anywhere." I just stared at her, stunned for a moment. "Murph," I just stammered. "My God, you don't know what you're doing." "Like hell," she said, her lip lifting in a ghost of its usual snarl. She twisted her head around, grimaced in pain, squinted at me. "You should have talked to me this morning. Got you now, Dresden." She broke off in a panting gasp and added, "You jerk." "You stubborn bitch from hell." I felt at a loss for a second, then shook my head. "I've got to get you out of here before it comes back," I said, and stooped over forward to try to gather her up. That was when the scorpion exploded towards me from the shadows beneath my desk, a harsh burst of dry, scuttling motion. It wasn't a bug I could squish with my fingers anymore. It was the size of a large terrier, all brown and glinting, and it was almost too fast to see coming. I convulsed away from it and saw the flash of its tail, saw its stinger whip forward and miss my eye by a hair's breadth. Something cool and wet speckled my cheek, and my skin started to burn. Venom. My startled motion had made my leg jerk and kick my staff and rod away from me. I rolled after the ladder desperately. Murphy's handcuffs brought me up short, and both of us made sounds of discomfort as the steel bands cut at the base of our hands. I stretched for the rod, felt the smooth roundness of it on my fingertips, and then there was another scuttling sound, and the scorpion came at my back. The rod squirted out from my grasping fingertips and rolled away, out of reach. I didn't have time for a spell, but I grabbed at the middle drawer of my desk, jerked it all the way out of its frame, and barely managed to shove it between the scorpion and myself. There was a hiss of air and a smacking sound of breaking wood. The scorpion's stinger plunged through the bottom of the drawer and stuck fast. A crab claw pincher gouged a hole through my sweatpants and into my leg. I screamed and hurled the drawer away. The scorpion, its tail still stuck, went with it. They both landed in the heap a few feet away. "Won't do you any good, Dresden," Murphy moaned incoherently. She must have been too far gone from the poison to understand what was going on. "I've got you. Stop fighting it. Get some answers from you now." "Sometimes, Murph," I panted, "you make things a little harder than they need to be. Anyone ever tell you that?" I bent down to her and slipped my cuffed wrist beneath her arm and around her back, drawing her own arm back with me, my right arm and her left bound by the handcuff. "My ex-husband," she moaned. I strained and lifted us both up off the ground, then started hobbling towards the door. I could feel the blood on my leg, the pain where the scorpion had ripped it, hot and hateful. "What's happening?" Confusion and fear trembled in Murphy's voice.
"Harry, I can't see."
Shit. The poison was getting to her. The poison of the common brown scorpion found all over most of the United States isn't much more venomous than the sting of a bumblebee. Of course, most bumblebees aren't the size of a family dog, either. Murphy wasn't a big person. If a lot of poison had been introduced into her system, the odds were against her. She needed medical attention, and she needed it immediately. If my hands had been free, I would have taken up my staff and rod and done battle. But I didn't like the odds tied to Murphy. Even if I could keep the thing off me, it might land on her, sting her again, and put an end to her. I was at a bad angle to search for her keys, and I didn't have time to go down the ring trying them on the handcuffs one by one. Any magic that I could work fast enough to shatter the cuffs in time would probably kill me with flying shrapnel, and there wasn't time to work out a gentler escape spell. "Damn it, Dad," I thought. "I wish you'd lived long enough to show me how to slip out of a pair of handcuffs."
"Harry," Murphy repeated, her voice thready. "What's happening? I can't see."
I saved my breath and lugged Murphy towards the door without answering her. Behind me, there was a furious scraping and clicking. I looked back over my shoulder. The scorpion stinger was stuck fast in the drawer, but the thing was rapidly ripping the wood to shreds with its pinchers and legs. I gulped, turned, and hobbled out of the office and down the hall with Murphy. I managed to swing the door to my office shut with one foot. Murphy's legs. did little to support her, and the difference in our heights made the trip awkward as hell. I was straining to keep her upright and moving. I reached the end of the hall, the door to the stairway on my right, the elevator on my left. I stopped for a moment, panting, trying not to let the sounds of splintering wood back down the hall rattle my judgment. Murphy sagged against me, speechless now. If she was breathing, I couldn't tell. There was no way I was going to be able to carry her down the stairs. Neither one of us had enough left to manage that. The ambulance would be arriving in minutes, less, and if I didn't have Murphy down there when it arrived, I might as well just leave her on the floor to die. I grimaced. I hated elevators. But I pushed the button and waited. Round lights over the elevator doors began counting up to 5. Down the hall from me, the splintering sounds stopped, and something crashed into my office door, rattling it on its frame. Hell's bells, Harry, I thought out loud. I looked up at the lights. 2. A pause approximately 10 centuries long. 3. Hurry up, I snarled and jabbed the button 100 times more. Then I remembered the bracelet of shields around my right wrist. I tried to focus on it, but couldn't. With it twisted awkwardly beneath Murphy, supporting her. So I lay her down as gently as I could, lifted my left hand, and focused on the bracelet. The lower third of my office door exploded outwards, and the brown, gleaming form of the scorpion bounded across the hallway and into the wall. It was bigger now. The damn thing was growing. It bounced off the wall with a scrabbling, horrible agility, oriented on me, and hurtled down the hall towards me as fast as a man could run, its legs clicking and scuttling furiously across the floor. It leapt at me, claws extended, stinger flashing. I focused my will on the defensive shield the bracelet helped me form and maintain, struggling to get it together before the scorpion hit me. I did it, barely.